We set sail from the street called the Cork. We were sailing away with the cargo of bricks for the Grand City Hall in New York. But a wonderful craft, she was rigged for the daft, and know how the wild wind over. She stood several blasts. She had 27 masts, and they called her the Irish Rover.
Well, 1 million bags of the best layer rights. We had 2 million barrels of beer. We had 3 million barrels of our nanny goat's tails. We had 4 million barrels of stone. We had 5 million dogs, 6 million herds, 7 million barrels of birds. We had 8 million hides of our blind horses' hides. And all that the Irish Rover.
There was our Mickey Cute, who played hard on his flute when the ladies lined up for a set. He would tootle with skill for each sparkling quadrille, till the dancers were fluttered and bent. With his smart witty talk, he was cock on the walk, and he rolled the dame under and over. They all knew at a glance when he took up his stance, and he sailed in the Irish Rover.
Suddenly there was Hogan from County Tyrone. There was John McGurk, who was scarce to work, and a man from Westmead come along. There was Slugger O'Toole, who was drunk as a road, and fighting Pat Shicey from Dover. I am Matt McMahon from the banks of the Bund, the skipper and the Irish Rover.
For a sailor it's always a bother in life, it's so lonesome by night and by day. Then he longs for the shore and a pretty young whore who will melt all his troubles away. All the lies and the rout, filling putteen and stout, for him soon is done and over. Of the love of a maid, he is never afraid, and a song from the Irish Rover. Will you sail 7 years?
The blast this way and the fog. And a whale of a crew was reduced down to two, with the skipper and the captain's on tow. Then a ship struck a rock, oh Lord, what a shock. So it was turned right over.
Turned 9 times around, then the poor old dog was drowned.
Dear audience, somewhere there on the air and in internet. Today in Totus Radio there are commoners remixing. We have a discussion about the commons movement and such issues. We have in the studio Alan Amprosi from Remix the Commons Collective from Canada. And we will be discussing about the experience about the Pixie Lake festivals that we were participating during the weekend. And we will be discussing about the definition of commons. And then, of course, also what the Remix the Commons Collective is doing practically and how, what kind of experience we got from that. Remix the Commons Collective is a cultural media activist group that is producing commons using media tools. My name is Jukka Peltokoski and I come from commons.fi, commons.fi collective that runs a web page that publishes information and articles and stuff about commons, which is a Finnish-based collective. Today in this studio we also have Lasse Poser from Totuus Radio as a technician, but also participating the discussion as a fellow commoner. We also have Marlela Huhka participating and hanging around, as she said. And last but not least, we have DJ Dirty Andy, Antti Tietäväinen, who has selected the evening's music. And all the music somehow represents remixing the commons and remixing the culture and is in that way connected to our discussion today about the commons and cultural revolution and revolution in culture. The first piece, actually we can start by with Andy. The first piece of music, what was it?
It was The Irish Rover by the Dubliners and the Pogues. And I choose this song because it's an old folk song and it's a cover of the old folk song. So if you think about this remixing, so remix normally refers to a recreated version of a song or a song that is made by combining elements from various songs. So if you think about this remixing from the viewpoint of the copyright law, a remix can be a problem if the remix borrows too much from the recorded content from other song or for the composition or the lyrics of the song. However, like, it's not always so clear, because we can ask really who is the author of a remix? The one that made the original version or the one that made the cover? And how different a new song have to be an original song? For example, if we think about songs in general, for example, 90s Europop songs, they have always same pattern. First woman singing, black man rapping, and woman singing. Or some rock songs, they have always same like a pattern. And at the end, like the notes are so the same. That there's that different kind of combination of the notes. So it's always, when music is made, it's like there's some sort of remixing. So we think about these folk songs. These folk songs existed long before any copyright law. So is this kind of recorded version of the folk song a remix or just part of the tradition? Because the folk song was sung many times before it was recorded. So that's why I wanted to play a cover song, because also cover song can be thought as a remix, because it's like a different kind of version of an old song.
Okay, straight to the point. But Alan comes from Canada Remix the Commons Collective. Alan, can you introduce a little bit yourself and tell us how do you see commons and culture, commons as a cultural movement, and what kind of thoughts Dirty Andy's opening already raised on your head?
Okay. Thank you for inviting me in this show. I'm quite excited, actually, what I just heard about the music, exactly what I'm trying to do with the video, actually. That the culture of remix is quite important in the commons in general, I think. I've been documenting the commons movement, if we can call it like that, since the conference that has been held in Belém in Amazonia about it was at the World Social Forum in Amazonia, and they were the first even international science and democracy forum, and they talked about the commons, and I was there to document this, and I went to after the conference in Belém in Amazonia on a boat, a scientific boat, where a pluridisciplinary scientific team was working on on this boat. So I did a little video documentary. We did a book about that. And since then, I've been documenting the comments in different occasions at the big conferences organized by the Commons Strategies Group in Berlin with the Enrichable Foundation, and different occasions at the World Social Forum in Dakar, and then at different festivals. You know, we've been also in Rio during this the big event, an environmental event in Rio, Rio Plus 20. So we've been collecting a lot of definitions, a lot of testimonies about the comments during all these years. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So about how many years are you talking about? About 30 years or 3 years, or
no,
how long is the...
About the comments, actually, it's that started in 2009 in Belém. Yeah. And then we created this project, remixthecommons.org. It's a platform on the web, but it's just a space for sharing documentation, media documentation about the comments. In 2011, actually, and now we're developing this.
But the work that you did before 2009 was not something completely different, but was sort of part of the same.
It was not really different, I would say, because I've been working for a long time in what we call the social appropriation of communication technologies. So I've been working with radio, community radio, but also with community TVs and video, etc. And then after that, we organized conferences, but also a lot of training workshops and meetings in every continent. And after that, I've been working with computers, of course, and so there is a continuity. We're talking the same thing. We're talking the same values, you know. We're talking the values of the right to communicate is the values of access first and participation second. When we talk about the commons, it's equitable access, equitable usage, equitable participation, and cooperative participation. So in that sense, there is a continuity.
But now you have the concept of the commons.
Yeah.
Yeah, to the concept of the commons, we will come back during the evening, I guess, and many times, but also we have a special slot for that during the program. And we will also be discussing more concretely about the Remix the Commons collective and its work for the commons and what kind of media practices it is doing and has rehearsed. Alan, you were mentioning that you have been media covering kind of different kinds of festivals, and festivals is a good starting point also for this discussion today evening, since we are coming quite directly from Pixel Lake festivals that were held in Helsinki Vartiosaari during last weekend, and that is why we are here drinking coffee and trying to stay awake. But how do you see the meaning of this kind of festivals? Now we were in Pixel Lake festivals, but you have gone around various kinds of festivals and seen many happenings around the commons and commons movement. Why these festivals?
I mean, maybe this kind of unconferences, as they call it, you know, the kind of bottom-up organized conferences, it may be the best way to communicate about the commons, I think, because you have a huge diversity of groups coming with all different ideas, you know, different ways to practice the commons and to communicate how they practice it. You know, we've been touring some of the festival, but Pixel Edge is one of the pioneers of the Commons Festival. Now, I went to Dakar, for example, at the festival named Afropixel, but Dakar took his name from the Pixel Age. You know? And now, recently in Greece, they had this Commons Fest festival, not long ago, a couple of weeks or a month ago now, and they took really the example of Pixel Age as well. So, and this kind of festival shows the richness of the Commons movement, I think. When we were in more kind of academic conferences like in Berlin, we need these conferences. In Berlin, the Commons Strategies Group and the Enrichable Foundation organized two big conferences about the Commons, and that's we need this kind of, you know, getting together different people from different disciplines, etc., and to have this. But we have to find new ways to communicate the Commons also, not only the, you know, kind of hierarchical way to, you know, you have a speaker, you have a keynote speaker. I was very embarrassed in Helsinki, because they invited me to be a keynote speaker just before the festival, and I'm not used anymore to be a keynote speaker, you know. So I prefer, and I think the comments have to be shared on a conversational mode, you know, of communication, and not on, you know, hierarchical. When we've been in Berlin at the conference, Economics and the Commons, we had a lot of experts from different countries, but we had two side events before the big conference, and one was about communication and cultures of the Commons, and the other one was about education of the Commons. And I think it's quite important, and we realized that we realized that we have to invent what George Poor from London call an art of commoning, you know. George Poor said in an interview I did with him in Berlin, he said, "We have to raise our culture of communication to the level of commoning." That means we have to invent new ways to communicate the commons, you know, because the commons themselves are something that, you know, there's the strength of the common is just to do not only together, but to do in common, to do acting in common, you know.
Yeah, so you see the festivals in themselves as a way to communicate and communicating the commons, and the way they are organized also communicates the commons, or at least they should be. Yeah, and there certainly was a kind of a contradiction between this university lecture and then commoners commoning in the woods. yeah, but that is also an interesting point to study about how there are different places, however, where you have to communicate, because on the other hand, at the same time, the university lecture, it was an easy way to communicate, to give kind of an introductory lecture for the people about the commons, and it was an easy way to come for them and so on. Then totally something different, but also more valuable, happened in the woods where we were having this camp, really. But yeah, we can say that Pixel Age festivals are, or they were, commons festivals already before the commons movement actually came famous or popular or more well known. But then you were also discussing about the arts of commoning, and that we should invent the ways to communicate the commons. But on the other hand, DJ Dirty and he already talked about folk songs as commons and commoning. So there's also something very traditional in commons, and they have somehow existed already before we have to invent them, But how do you see this kind of problematic, or is it problematic?
It's not a problematic thing for me. I mean, I think we have to first to rediscover this way of being and acting together. I think it's, as you said, it's really something that is really rooted in human behavior. What happened recently is we rediscovering that through the digital commons in particular, etc. But then, after rediscovering it, we have to redefine it according to the social context and the technical context. Because if these kind of songs, or if the what they call in Latin America, the indigenous people there, called the buen vivir, the yuca, the in Quechua as well. So I don't remember exactly the term in Quechua, or yucat samay, or I don't remember it. Mm-hmm. But it's really a way to be and to act together. And now we're rediscovering that it's nothing really new. But what is important in that is what we discover now, it's not only rooted in human nature and new human behavior, and not only that, we can see that it all over the history we had different ways of doing, of commoning. But now people and some scientists discover that even other species and even the nature itself behaves like commons, you know. Mm. And that's incredible, because you know, it's really a change of the in the culture. I think that's why I call that a real cultural revolution. It's not only, you know, it's not only philosophy with values. It's really a change in the mentality, a change of the perception of nature. And also, I think the strength of the commons, but maybe that's the next part of our discussion, is more than a philosophy, is also a very concrete, pragmatic, socio-economic paradigm. You know. Mm.
So you see commons as a new or paradigm in becoming. It has been also said that somehow modern times excluded the commons, and there became dual distinction between the state and the markets, and somehow, at least and especially, traditional commons were excluded. Well, not totally, they didn't disappear, but they somehow were in a latent or hidden mode, and in that sense, modernity, of course, was contradictory. But yeah, modernity somehow was an exceptional period of time in which commons at least were tried to be excluded, and now they are reinvented. My question concerning this is that now, if we have these festivals and nearly even mega festivals, possibly someday, around the commons issues and commoning practices, and yes, we are reinventing commons, and we are somehow making commons a new paradigm. But is there also a risk and threat that commons become some sort of magical word, that now everybody start talking about commons, and they just give everything a label, common or commons? Especially artists are very quick to appropriate different kinds of words and concepts, and then everything is justified or somehow named as commons or commoning.
I would say not only artists, but you know, that you're right. There is what we call now commons washing phenomenon. You know, that where everybody has all the terminology, like the sustainability, that the green economy, etc. I've been washed in a sense, and that's happening now with the commons. Everybody talks about the commons, and I'm quite concerned and afraid about the fact that, you know, right-wing parties talk about their comments. In the state, the Tea Party, in the UK, the Conservative Party talks about the comments. And for them, the comments are just something like it's against the state, you know. Do it yourself, the kind of thing, but because the state is not responsible for doing it for you. So it's a way to open to privatization of everything, you know.
And they have always also been talking about the common nation and the common religion and the common home for years and years, the right-wing parties. So it's like they will kind of make just a little trick and...
Exactly. No, I think the different challenges of the commons, this one is quite important because, we don't have to be too naive and think that the commons would be really will be successful because that's just fun and because it is taking a very important place at the economical level as well, the political level as well. We don't have to be naive for that because when we see, I'm living in Canada, but when I see the last elections in Europe, for example, and I see all the right-wing parties really scaling up, I think we have a lot of work to do with the commons to confront this kind of thing.
What would you say, Alan, if you would say that the right-wing parties talk about nation and home and religion, and if they would... From that perspective, somebody would say, okay, these are commons. How would you answer, or what would be your answer to this person, or how would you argument that they are not commons, or they are outside of the realm of commons?
I think we have that. That's why we have really to develop what we call now an art of commoning between ourselves, but an art of communicating the commons. And, the commons, at the end of the day, the commons is really commoning. It's first is commoning, it's acting together to do things. So the only way to respond to that is to create new commons. And I think it's the best way. We have also, of course, to protect the existing commons. There is all kind of battles we have to do, but that part of the big challenges of the commons, because this, as I said, that this opening the other night, I think the market and the corporations, are scaling up the enclosures and the privatizations of the commons. Now, when we speak about nature, we think about water, we think about the digital commons, etc. All the big battles these days around intellectual property, for example, are really central for the survival, I would say, of the commons.
Commoning as a word and concept is, I think, very important in commons discourse, and in this sense Pixel Lake festivals were in the very heart center of commons, because we were having a camp in the woods, or more concretely on the island, and there were no, or at least no good facilities, but people had to rely on each other, and that was, at least for me, a strong experience, not only to see that there were many fellow commoners from different parts of the world, but also commoning together in the camp. And also what was important for me was that our own group was there, and I had a possibility to discuss with those, because that's also a rarity nowadays. We in commons.fi live in different cities and do not see each other too many times, and not too easily. So my experience is that many times participating in different kinds of happenings, the meaning is somehow inner, and not so much how it affects to the some outer space. So this also concerns organizing, for example, demonstrations. Many times the most important influences are what happens between those who organizes, and not so much about how media, for example, covers what happens or how it affects to the public policies, which is also important, but many times what is especially forgotten is that how organizing, and in this case commoning, affects to the people who common. And that is also, I think, what was most important in Pixel Lake festivals during the weekend.
If I can add something about this festival, I mean, that was very important to have also. I mean, they put the emphasis a bit at the festival about the biocommons, and there was maybe the first big gathering of people working on biocommons. It's not my specialty, biocommons. That would be an easy for me to comment a lot about this, but it was incredible to have these people from different countries working as the biohackers and the specialists, the scientific, talking about that, you know. And at the same time, you had people, talking about the bees commons, you know, working with bees. And making performances with bees, installing. I was this morning in Helsinki in the botanical garden, and the same group installed in the botanical garden two beehives and a kind of seat in the same form of the beehives, and people can go and sit and on this seat and talk with the bees. And these people would say that we have a lot to learn from the bees, the way they act in common, you know. So you have this, and you had another young woman who was a dancer, and when I asked her to define the commons in very briefly in one sentence, the way we do that in our project to remix the commons. And when I knew that she was a dancer, I say, could you dance a commons for me? And she did a very nice performance, just in front of the camera, you know, and a contact dance. And she just said, you know, I can't do that all alone. I have to do that with at least one person, because there is no commons with only one. So, you know, this kind of thing is new ways of talking and communicating about commons, and we have to. Some people say we have to create new memes, cultural memes. You know, that means all the ideas, behavior in a culture, that there are memes, cultural memes, and we have to create new commons memes.
Okay, now commons are about commoning and communication. So and they are not only spoken, but they are also danced, so we can go to the music part again. We have next piece of music selected by DJ Dirty Andy. And Andy, what is it?
Before you, Andy, talk about the music, can I just have two small announcements for the listeners of our Totus radio program, just very shortly. The first one is because I promised my flatmate that I mentioned the theater piece, which is in the Bispanam Teatteri. I mention here now, people who are listening for this radio show, the 9th of June, or then this week's Friday, the 13th. You can go on the Friday the 13th or Saturday the 14th. Into Pispalan Teatteri in Pyynikin Trikot and see a very nice show called Irtolainen, which is a mime show with one actor and lots of sounds and mimed images. Okay, that was my announcement number one. Announcement number two is, and maybe listeners, if you go and see that show, you can reflect about the show through the lens of the idea of commons and see what is similar in the act of miming and the idea of commons. Well, just as a suggestion. And announcement number two is, of course, that in the website totuusradio.fi you have the possibility to participate in our show if you listen the 9th of June 2014. This show, we will comment every comment that arrives. You can comment by commenting the latest blogging in our site. Great. Those were my announcements. Now, Mr. Dirty Andy.
Right, yeah. The other song I choose is People Funny Boy by Lee Perry. And I choose it because the modern remixing had its roots in the late 1960s Jamaican music. In general, if we think Jamaican music, like, it's like there are a lot of influences, a lot of like a remixing done in Jamaican music. First, like Jamaica is very close to the United States, so the 1960s Jamaican music was a kind of there were versions of the one kind of versions of the like the music that was sung by the African American blacks. And if you take and then like the in the 80s when the big reggae star like Bob Marley like the got famous, like they also borrowed from the American rock music, they like changed the style of reggae. And if you think about the nowadays Jamaican contemporary Jamaican music, like it's a very violent and sexist and homophobic in a many way, but also like it's also like very similar than the rap music nowadays in United States. It can be said that Jamaica in generally like the portrays like very well the like the some of the extremes of the American culture. So anyway, like in Jamaica in this 1960s, the producers like King Tubby and the Lee Scratch Perry, they like rebuilt old reggae tracks to suit tastes of their audiences. And there were at the time there were like two main like actors in a like reggae show. One was the selector, who selected the records or the doublets or the how you call it, like the tunes, and the DJ who spoke or sing over the these doublets. So this song, like it's notable for its innovative use of the sample, A Crying Baby, which you can heard in the beginning, as well as a fast chugging beat that would soon became identifiable as a reggae like music. So and that's why it's like the also like a part of this remixing culture and making something of an old to new. Please play.
Yes, so the song was People Funny Boy
by Lee Perry.
So that was reggae from Jamaica and Lee Scratch Perry. Old roots music. Reggae reminds me of the Babel, which means multilinguistics. And now we were talking about the commons as communication, communicating the commons. We have a video clip, meaning now the voice clip for the listeners, where different people in different languages define what the commons mean. And this voice clip, video clip, which comes from YouTube, is produced by Remix the Commons Collective. So let's listen that for the start.
For me, the commons is
les modalités de gouvernance.
Aquello que necesitamos
for managing resources.
En armonía consigo mismo.
Viele empirische fenomene.
Capacité d'auto-organisation.
Mettre à disposizione di più persone possibili.
حاجة بتاعتنا كلنا.
جزي انتو. Jesus, então.
Oder sozusagen das Gemeingut.
Na pena totologan.
Esses dois polos.
Que é o Gong-Gong-Zi-Yuan.
Se sentir concerné.
Create together.
Sistemas culturais.
Ressources partagées.
Dafür zu sorgen, dass Menschen.
An attitude towards the world.
El buen vivir.
Dont il n'est pas acceptable.
Gemeingut und Eigentum.
Les différentes définitions.
The commons is building social relationship in such a way that all those things we need to reproduce our livelihoods will be shared in a fair way and managed in a sustainable way.
The commons and definition of commons was that in many languages. Silke Helfrich in this last part said that commons are about sharing in a fair way and in a sustainable way. That's something obscure, isn't it? What is fair and what is sustainable? How do you see, Alan?
You know. First, yeah. I would like to say that we've put together this this clip and remixing different definitions. Mm. Actually, you have very short sentences or two words from each speaker there, but we have the definitions of all these people in English and Spanish and Chinese and etc. We've done that at the Remix the Commons project. Just to show, we did this little remix just to show the difficulty to define the commons. Mm. And not only it's not difficult because, it's difficult because according to the different culture, to different historical background, to different technical context, the commons has a different definition. And I think that's one of the strengths of the common, actually, of the commons. It has to be redefined always and always. You know, it's not a model you can cut and paste. You know, easily. And what's interesting in that we did that also in the streets. You know, asking people for you if you had to tell me in one sentence what the commons is, what will it be? And what's interesting is that people, they have very spontaneous answers. They all, the commons means something for everybody. The problem is you have, you know, as I said, to see it according to the context and to the culture where they live. We've been a lot in Africa, for example, they have an approach of the commons. For them is something so rooted in their culture, they don't have the same definition. But what is interesting, and that's why I will answer to your question about what Silke Helfrich says, that's the what we have really to have in mind when we define the commons is not the way it's defined, but the core values under it. And first, the commons, I think, is what we have to keep in mind is a social relationship, and what Silke says also. It's not, you know, people think about the commons as a resource. You know, water is a commons. Water is not a commons if there is not a community who takes charge of the water, you know. So the commons is first and a social acting together, acting together. And that's why, so now, when you act together, you organize yourself to act in a fair way, as Silke says, you know. You act in a cooperative way, a peer-to-peer kind of relationship, and democratic way, of course, because if you want an equitable access, if you want an equitable usage or use of the water, of the commons, because the commons could be a natural resource like water, air, and etc. But that's something you create also. The new commons that, you know, that you get together. And you, if a community of persons create or take care of a commons, they have to organize themselves in such a way, as say Silke, like, you know, conviviality, democracy, etc. But you have to create, in any case, governance rules, you know, to take care of these commons. And of course, if you do that, for the general interest, not for particular or individual interest.
So is it that, can you also say that if there is the logic of the capital, which is also being said that it's also, of course, primarily a relationship between human beings, or idea of or concept of relationship in a society, so commons would be sort of another way of organizing in a society also about the relationships. Mm. As a capital is an exploitative relationship, commons is another form of, like the base relationship form in the society.
Mm. Well, I would say so, that very simply, as Silke actually has said, that water recreated in the bottle in the shop is not anymore a commons, even if it is quite naturally thought as a commons water. But when it is in the bottle closed and sold, it certainly is not anymore a commons. So it really, also water can be seen in that sense as a social practice, how it is served and how it is taken care of. And in this sense, yeah, taking care of the commons and sharing resources, this fairness issue is somehow important, even if it is obscure, which I was trying to take up. It's a kind of an important aspect in this discourse, even if it cannot be defined clearly, because it refers to the practices in which you have to take into account different points of views, and everybody have to take care of the openness of the process, even already from their own self-interested point of view, because they have to take care that they also themselves can participate fairly in the processes. And in this sense, fairness, even if it is quite, well, not really possible to define what the heck it is, it's some sort of ethos, it's somehow important in commons discourse from this participatory and process point of view. And yeah, this voice clip was also, I think, important and very good answer from you, and good that you didn't answer directly to my clumsy question, was that, yeah, there is possible to find commons definitions from different languages, and starting points can be found from different cultures, and everybody can say somehow what the commons means for themselves. And that is also interesting starting point for the commons discourse, that there are experiences and languages to talk about it, even if it has to be also reinvented somehow. And yeah, and then it is a kind of a mess in the end, and that's a good also. Yeah, but yeah, that's good.
No, but I think that the other strength of the comments, because the comments evolves in time and space, you know, and just an anecdote about Silke, for example. But many people like this. The definition we had from Silke Helfrich on this clip here was in 2010. The first meeting in Berlin about the commons. When I asked Silke 3 years after to define the commons in one sentence, the same thing, and she did something quite different. But the same core values were there, but she expressed it differently, you know. And that proves also that the commons evolves in time and space, and that's quite important because, you know, we getting more and more confidence maybe in the way we can define it, but we have to keep it open. That's an open definition. We're talking now about open access and open movements, etc. Let's have an open definition of the commons, you know, but let's keep the core values of the commons.
How would you define those core values? Can you define them in a short?
That's first that sharing of a critical understanding and a conception of the world that aims for well-being and living well, you know. And that is to say, first, conviviality amongst humans, but harmony with nature and sustainable development, responsible and fair sustainable development. So that's the core value, and that's where we can see that in time, indigenous people in Latin America, they had this, you know, the Buen Vivir and all this. But that's the core value. And now we speak about solidarity, we speak about inclusion, we speak about sharing, we speak about peer-to-peer participation, general interest, we speak about respect. And what's important in all this is the diversity and the difference. Valuing diversity and difference in the commons, for me, is one of the big strengths. And that's what we saw also at the Pixelage Festival, you know. All these people from different, you know, origins first, but different culture and different disciplines as well, different generations, you know. And they all come together, and really the hybridization, I don't know if I pronounce well in English, hybrid, it's just one of the big strengths of the commons, I think. I think that's part of the core values of the commons. And these days, what we find in the digital commons, we rediscover this kind of values. But not only in the digital commons, but all the daily practices. Now we have like the couch surfing and the crowdfunding and these kind of new ways of collaborating, new ways of sharing, new ways of participating as well, as we rediscovering this and we enriching these practices as well.
Yeah, the other part I think concerning this issue is that we are rediscovering the commons and commoning as social practices in which these core values can be somehow identified and they have to be taken care of so that the practices can in a sustainable way go on and benefit the participants. In this sense it is very important and interesting to study people's experiences. How do they do the commoning already, even if they sometimes or many times even recognized that what in this sense is happening. But then on the other hand, the commons discourse and especially the commons movement also challenges the contemporary society. It's against the state and against the markets. It's somehow beyond, or at least tries to be and go beyond the markets and the state. And in this sense, I think there has to be also something more which challenges, and there's some kind of an antagonism in the commons, but that is the, I think, hard part to then to define. But what I'm trying to somehow to articulate is that, okay, we have these experiences about the commoning already, but then to make them political experiences and to make a movement more conscious of being against the state and the market, that's then still something to be developed. Or do you see anything of this?
I want to say that the commons are first of all against the state and against the market. They are beyond the state and beyond the market, mm-hmm. I would say. That's a kind of what we called not long ago the third way, you know. But and they have to to work with the state and the market in a way, in at the moment now. We are in period of a transition period where we have to create a space for the commons to arise. But to create a space, I mean a political space and legal space for the commons to arise and take their space, their importance, you know. And I think when you see the big battles at the political and legal level, the experiences are quite interesting these days because, for example, talking about the water and the privatization of water, I have an example I like very much. It's in Italy, in Naples, where all the distribution of water in this city, it's 500,000, I think, inhabitants in Naples, was really controlled by the private corporations. And people decided after a referendum, there was a national referendum in Italy in 2011, I think, to reclaim the water as a commons. And in Naples, they decided to retake this distribution of water, and they call that the ABC, Acqua Bene Comune, water as a commons. And now the water in Naples is controlled by the citizens. But to do that, in order to do that, they had really to struggle against the law, and they had really to create, and actually they called people, international and national, very high-level jurists, specialized in law, to do that battle. So we had the chance in one of the conferences to meet one of them, Ugo Mattei, for example, from Naples. He's international jurist, is very well known, and he's been involved in this kind of battle there. So that proves that we have, you know, even our legal systems is done as a collusion between the state and the corporate corporate forces. I mean, and all the legal system is based on the private property and competition. And if we want to introduce the commons and all that, we have to change even this legal system. So I don't know if I answer your question on this. Or the other example I have is recently. Actually, when I said recently, it was last week. It just concluded last week in Ecuador. They called for what they called a flock project, flock society project, free. Libre and open knowledge project, and that the government of Ecuador called people like Michel Bowens, who is the head of the Peer-to-Peer Foundation, to gather a research team and to make proposals
for to be discussed in a multi-stakeholder meeting in Ecuador about how to transform Ecuador in an open knowledge society at different levels. It could be at education, agriculture, blah, blah, blah. And, well, it seems that the process was quite difficult because there is all kind of contradictions in Ecuador now in the government. I mean, they have good ideas like this, but it's quite difficult. They have many problems with their own indigenous people and all this and civil society. But it was just to say that it was the first time that there is now a kind of strategic and national plan to convert the way of thinking economy, the way of thinking knowledge, etc., etc. So that's, for me, the scanning up of the comments at the political level and at the economical level also. And when you see things, you know, the digital commons, like Wikipedia, for example, it's, you know, never in the history of humanity we had this kind of thing where you have more than almost 100,000 volunteers who work in almost 300 languages. They work on a peer-to-peer basis. That's something quite new. And you have more than almost 5 million articles in English. You have almost 300. I read that 350,000 in Swami language. That's for me. That's an achievement. Very well. Very very important.
Yeah. Should we go again to the music and remix some music to our program? Andy, you can again present the next piece.
Okay, I have one point to make before.
Yeah,
were speaking about the water. I was thinking that the music is also a bit similar, that it can be compared with the water. Like, if you think about the era of the folk songs, so no one didn't pay anything for the music. The songs were songs, sing and so on. But then the music began to be recorded to the different kind of devices, and it became expensive. For example, in the 1990s, if you bought a compact disc or a vinyl, you have to pay 120 marks, which is more than 20 euros. But nowadays, like, the music is a bit similar like a tap water, that if you can listen it from the YouTube or Spotify. But if you want to buy a special record that with a special package, you pay a lot. But generally, like, the music is a lot of cheaper than it used to be 10 years ago. Like, it's very widely available. And like that happens to the artist also, that they don't anymore profit so much from the copyright royalties. More they make their living from the performing in a bars and so on. So also the thing itself have become a common, but you have only served the services. So it's like a tap water and a bottled water. One is cheap and other is expensive.
Maybe the same thing can happen also with, and is also maybe happening with texts. Mm. Like, before the printing machine, there was only people telling stories and the product of the book itself, or there was not such a thing to be paid. And now we go back maybe a little bit in the same way as you described with the music thing, also with books and texts in the internet.
Yeah, maybe I can introduce the next song, because the last song I was the Lee Perry. And as I said, that in the late 1960s, the Jamaican producers used rebuilt the tracks to suit the new audiences. So same happened in the 1970s in the United States, when the discotheques were born, or they became more popular. So these DJs in these early discotheques were performing similar tricks than the Jamaican selectors were doing with the disco songs. Like, the idea was to get the dancers on the floor, and keep them there. So they they use the disco songs like they with the, like they played many disco songs the one after other and combined them with or use the like the loop edits, which means you take the one very good part of the song and then you just like repeat it and repeat it. So and then you get better feeling to dance floor. So that's how they remixed these songs to like the and made it to have a, like a better atmosphere to these parties. So that's why I chose it one disco song that is like mixed by a famous disco DJ Tom Moulton. It's the original artist is the OJs and the song is called Backstabbers. Yeah.
So now we go. The OJs. Oh, I have here the OJs Love Train, a Tom Moulton mix. Is that wrong?
Okay, I tried to choose the Backstabbers, but
the remix.
Just wait a second and let's go here. Now we have it. All right. We are ready?
Right.
The OJs Backstabbers Tom Moulton remix. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go then. Soon we are back in Totuus Radio.